I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge worship service. And if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, we would like to give you a gift. We have a New American Standard black leather-bound Bible in the back of the Refuge Worship Center and here in the auditorium in the back of the pew. If you need a Bible, you pick that up, take it home with you. It's our gift to you. And we hope that you'll read it and study it. Begin this morning by turning to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 as we continue in our series from the book of Hebrews. This morning we're going to talk about what it means to draw near to God. Let's begin reading in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has inaugurated for us, through the veil, which is His flesh. Now our text. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. And we're going to stop right there, and we'll take a look at the condition of our hearts and so on in the coming weeks. But we're going to pause with that little phrase, let us draw near. Draw near to whom? Draw near to God. Now, the reason that we draw near to God is because in verse 21, the scripture says, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Now, let me say a word this morning by way of introduction before we look at our text regarding the priesthood in modern days. And if you're a Roman Catholic, understand, we consider you our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love for you to be a part of our fellowship. We have many Catholics who join us on Sundays, and we're delighted that you're here. But I believe that one of the things that has occurred in modern religion is we have lost sight of the fact that the priesthood in the Old Testament pointed to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and He fulfilled the work of the priest. So that today, if a denomination or a religion promotes another priesthood, there's a tendency, if we are not careful, to transfer the responsibilities of Christ to a human being, to a man, to a priest. And in my opinion, that ought not be done. The reason is the Hebrew priesthood in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. He is our great priest over the house of God. It is to Him we go. It is to Christ that we confess. It is to the Lord Jesus that we look to in faith. Now, the priest in the Old Testament had two responsibilities. First, the priest was responsible for offering the sacrifice. You read this beginning in Leviticus, going through the end of the Old Testament. The Hebrew priest was responsible for taking the sacrifices of the nation of Israel and offering them to God on the people's behalf. But then the second thing that the priest in the Old Testament would do was this. He would intercede on behalf of the Hebrew people. Now, if what I'm saying is true, and I believe it is, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood, then when Christ offered Himself at Calvary, He was the great priest offering his life at Calvary as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was a one-time offering, and all other blood offerings now cease. For once he offered his life, no other offering could ever be given that ever comes close to Christ. But the second part of the work of a priest, which Christ fulfills, he continues. And that work is interceding on your behalf. Now think with me for just a moment. I realize, let's put it in terms of the Southern Baptist Convention. I realize that in your mind you may struggle with this idea that you need a preacher to pray for you. You need somebody in the ministry to bless you. And I'm honored to do that. If you call me and ask me if I will pray over your newborn or a business that you have, I would be more than happy to do that for you. But listen to me very carefully. I have no priest, no more priesthood responsibilities or privileges than you. We are all priests, if you will, unto God. Our only great priest is Jesus Christ. And now look at our text. Since we have such a great priest, let us draw near. Three things I want you to see about this. Number one, to draw near speaks of intimacy. And intimacy with God is the greatest intimacy of all. For example, if you draw near to someone, let's say your spouse, if you come close to them, if you draw near to them, you're intimate with them. The definition for intimacy is this: into me you see. When you draw near to someone, that someone sees into you, and you're accepted, you're loved, you're blessed, you're embraced. The greatest relationships in this life are those relationships where you draw near to that person and they see into you. They see you as you are. No hiding, no running, no lying, no shaming, no blaming. They know you, they see you, and they love you. That's intimacy. The greatest intimacy of all is intimacy with God. In fact, let me see if I can't spin it just a little bit. You will never have intimacy with human beings until you are convinced of your intimacy with God. For example, there will always be a tendency to shove people away if in your mind you are shoved away by God. Now, you can justify it all you want about why you keep people at a distance. But the truth is, if you keep people at a distance, the message you're giving them is they're unworthy. What they have done is unforgivable. What they have said can never be forgotten. They are unworthy of my presence. People who do that, at the very core of their being, they have lost any understanding of intimacy with God. In their mind, that's the way God treats them. But that's not what the Bible teaches about our relationship with God. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let us come through the veil, which is Christ. Let us enter into His presence and let us worship and enjoy Him just as we are. Because he sees into us. And he embraces us. He loves us. He accepts us. Just as we are. You say, well, how can that be? I've always been told that God basically is saying, stay away until you're worthy. I've always been taught that God has his arm out saying, do not come close. I will strike you dead if you do, because you are full of sin and you are not the way you should be as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a person. Stay away, you've been told. That's what God says. Stay away. No, no, no. God says, since we have a great priest, let us draw near. Now, I want to show you what our great priest does, which will lead you to an understanding of what it means to have intimacy with God. To have intimacy with God means that you have to come to an understanding that all of your sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now, follow me here. I know that we have hit on this over the last several weeks because this is the message of Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. In fact, Hebrews 9 verse 22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The writer of Hebrews is speaking to us about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, about his death at Calvary. And what he's saying is this, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse the Hebrew of ceremonial defilement, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience to serve the living God? That's Hebrews 9, verses 12 through 14. Blood is mentioned a dozen times in Hebrews 9. The offering of Christ himself is on the agenda for the writer of Hebrews. And what he's saying to the readers of this great book is simply this. When Jesus died, all your sins were cleansed. Not just your past ones. Not just your present ones. Even your future ones. They were cleansed by the blood of Christ. If you've come to faith in the person and work of Christ, you have been cleansed. Now watch. Because of this, you should have confidence to enter the veil, to come into the presence of God, because three things have happened to you through the death of Christ, which is the first mission the priest always has, to offer the offering. Number one, the blood of Christ has changed your character before God. That's what he did. He changed your character. This is Hebrews 10 and verse 14. Take a look at it in your Bible. It says, by his one offering, he has cleansed forever those who are sanctified, which means you have confidence to enter into the presence of God because your character has been changed. The way God views you has been changed. You've been cleansed. Now, you say, but Pastor, here's the deal. I don't feel like I am as I ought to be. I don't feel like I am doing what I should do. I don't feel as if my life right now is where it needs to be. And I'm uncomfortable in the presence of God. When do you think you'll ever be there? Are you kidding me? Do you think you're going to be perfect tomorrow? It ain't going to happen. So, whatever struggles you're having today, don't let them bar you from entering God's presence and having intimate fellowship with Him. You see, He sees into you. He knows you. That's why He gave His Son. And the blood of His Son cleanses you. Now, come into His presence. Acknowledge who you are. And just visit with your God. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a priest. You have a great priest over the house of God. But there's a second point that I want you to see. Not only does the blood of Christ change your character before God. Look at this. He changes your condition. You know what that means? You see, in the Old Testament, if a sinner stood before God, he was struck dead. But when you go through the veil, which is the flesh of Christ, and you come before God with your sins cleansed, you are no longer in a condition of condemnation. You know what condition you're in? You're in a condition of blessing. I'm going to show you later on in Hebrews 10, this is why you come before the throne of grace. And you ask your heart's desire. You pour out your heart to God. You tell Him what you need. You tell Him what you desire. And you never hesitate. Because you have a great priest over the house of God. And so if your spouse is ill with cancer, you go in and you pour your heart out to God. And your heavenly Father will embrace you. He will not only hear your prayer, your condition has changed. He will respond in blessing. Now, some of you are here today and you're saying, but Pastor, that is exactly what happened to me. And my spouse died. Yeah. The Lord doesn't promise you physical healing. What He promises you is that He will do abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. The day of your spouse's death has been ordained by God in His appointment book, and no amount of praying will change the date one day forward or one day back. But when you are in pain because the person you love is dying, you come through the veil into the presence of God and you pour your heart out, and God embraces you. You do not have to think that you've got to stay away. God embraces you. Why? Because He sees into you and He accepts you and He loves you. He's changed your condition. He's changed your character. Oh, but you know what? When you begin to understand that intimacy with God is the greatest blessing of all. And when you stop refusing to stay away and you initiate drawing near because of your great priest, you know what else changes? Your confidence changes. Not only your character, not only your condition, but your confidence changes. Dwayne, there you go. You know what that means? That means that you begin to change the way you think. Now watch. Here's how it happens. When God receives you the way you are and embraces you the way you are and accepts you and is intimate with you the way you are because you've come through the veil and you're drawing near, listen, nobody else in your life will have to perform to obtain your acceptance. Now, you're going to accept them because you're accepted. Even when people fail, you're going to accept them. Oh, sure, there's consequences. Oh, sure.
Failure hurts.
Sure, there are things that happen because of people's failure. Nobody's saying that. But personal rejection is never an issue. You will accept people because you have a confidence that you are accepted before God. And listen to me now. What is the basis of your acceptance? Have you noticed that in the first 20 minutes of this 27-minute message, not one thing has been said about your performance? And everything has revolved around the performance of Christ. You say, well, performance is important, particularly in this world. People need to perform well. Christians need to give their best. Absolutely. Nobody's denying that. But my point to you is this. If you go through life thinking that intimacy with God is based upon your performance being what it should, you will never enter through the veil with confidence. You will stay away. Let me close by showing you that intimacy with God not only involves cleansing from the blood of Christ, but intimacy with God involves the second work of the great priest, which is his intercession for you in heaven. This intercession means God intervenes for you at all times through his Son. Basically, your great priest is your attorney in the courtroom of heaven. Your great priest is your advocate. Your great priest is your defender. Your great priest represents you before the throne of God. He intercedes for you at all times. Now watch. Think with me now. Some of you are struggling because you're saying to yourself, man, I don't know that my life's working out right now. I don't know that things are going the way that I dreamed they would go. In your mind, you're struggling. As you go through, as you age, you're thinking to yourself, I pictured my fantasy life differently than what it is playing out. I understand. Hear me now. Your advocate is always interceding for you. And he will work every circumstance of your life for your ultimate good, his ultimate glory. And you never have to doubt that your defender will win. He's on your side. And I promise you, though it may seem dark right now, good is dawning. It's coming. I promise you. He's your great priest over the house of God. He's your advocate. I visited with the new manager at Walmart. His name is James Quillman. Been here about 8 days. Had lunch with him. He gave me permission to share this story. James was high up in Walmart, left, become vice president of an electronic company, and then he became vice president of Blockbuster. And then he started his own company. And back in 2001, his company that he started was really struggling. In fact, he had a large house in Plano, Texas. He had a lifestyle based upon being an executive. But his new company, his pay was more like labor wages, and he was losing his money quickly. He came to the point where he wondered whether or not he would go bankrupt. Had no money. But he'd started a ministry at Prestonwood Baptist Church, fishing for fathers and boys, fathers and sons. And because of that, some of the connections that he had with I think it's called the FLW fishing circuit, which is a professional circuit that his friends at Walmart had sponsored, allowed him to enter a tournament in Arkansas, the greatest bass tournament that Arkansas sees every year. 2,330 fishermen that year, 2001. $80 entry fee he couldn't even pay. His mom paid it for him. It was embarrassing. First time he'd ever asked his mom for money. And James Quillman told me that he prayed to God and said this, "God, you know my needs. I'm out of money. If I could just win first place in my divisions, $5,000, I'd be able to pay my mother back. I'd be able to pay a few of my debts back. I'd have enough money, and it might carry me to next month when we can get a contract. Lord, please help me." He went out on the Arkansas River on a borrowed boat. He'd never fished the Arkansas before. He found an old man in a pontoon boat who guided him to a little hole that he said, you know, there could be some fish here. He fished that hole the entire first day. Didn't catch a thing. The next day he's out fishing. About midday, hadn't caught a thing. And he lays his pole down. And he says, "Lord, this is silly. I'm asking you to help me catch a fish. And in my mind, I am thinking, if you just let me catch a fish that'll win me $5,000, I'll be more committed to you. I know that you'll be real in my life." He says, "Father, forgive me. I know you love me. I know you accept me. I know I'm yours. Lord, if I don't catch a fish, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for being who you are to me. And I know you've got a good purpose no matter what happens. Forgive me. Forgive me. For I've been treating you." After he prayed, he says he picks up his pole and he casts it into the Arkansas River on his first cast. He catches a bass. He pulls it in the boat, pulls out the scales, 5.1 pounds. Pretty big bass. He thought it might win third place, $1,000. Put it in the live well, takes it to where they're weighing in. Again, 300 miles along the Arkansas River, so they're doing it by radio. He goes before the judge. The guy right before him has a bass, 5.8 pounds. Oh, second place, maybe in his division, maybe third. They pull his fish up, 5.89 pounds. Incredible. In his mind, he's won $5,000. 5 o'clock comes, the tournament is over. They radio in all the results. "James Quillman, please report to the platform." James Quillman reports to the platform. They said, "James, 5 divisions, 2,330 fishermen, 5.89 pounds is the largest bass in all divisions. It's the grand prize winner. You have won $100,000. First time he ever entered a bass tournament. First time he ever fished the Arkansas. To this day, in that tournament, it remains the smallest fish to ever win the grand prize. Here's my point. Do you not think the Lord Jesus was intervening on behalf of James Quillman? Well, of course. He's intervening for you as well. James Quillman could have gone through that second day and not caught that fish, and his Lord was still intervening for him. And something better was coming. Oh, his company ended up doing quite well until 2009 and the downturn. And he decided that he would get out and come back with Walmart, which has brought him back to be the manager of this store. Listen to me. Think with me. And I'm done. You don't need an earthly priest. You don't even need a preacher. You don't need anybody to intercede between you and God. Oh no. Therefore, my brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way through the veil, which is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, oh, let us draw near. And when you learn to draw near to God daily and experience the intimacy that he gives to sinners like us, then I'm telling you, your life will be precisely the way God created it to be. Walking with your God as he embraces you because of Christ. Let's pray together.